Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is February 14, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about crypto finance startup Amber raises $28 million in Series A led by Pantera, Paradigm. Coinbase Commerce integrates DAI cryptocurrency for merchant payments. ASX sees industry benefits arising from blockchain upgrade as July tests approach. U.S. intelligence officials are funding research on dollar-crushing black swan events. Blockchain bills are advancing in the New York State Senate. Here's why. Binance adds 15 fiat currencies as exchange pushes global expansion. NASDAQ, Morgan Stanley trading vets build startup to unite crypto market price ranges. Trump's Fed nominee Judy Shelton says U.S. should be proactive on digital dollar. OKEX partners with Bain-backed crypto exchange to launch leveraged futures in India. Bitcoin closing on daily golden cross that could bring boost to 2020 price rally. Polychain Capital is raising a $200 million crypto venture fund, slide deck reveals. MIT wasn't only one auditing VOIT's Homeland Security did too, with fewer concerns. Now let's get started. Crypto finance startup Amber raises $28 million in Series A led by Pantera, Paradigm. Amber Group, a Hong Kong-based startup offering a range of cryptocurrency finance services, has raised $28 million in a Series A funding round. Leading the investment are Paradigm and Pantera Capital, with Polychain Capital, Blockchain.com, Coinbase Ventures and Fenbushi Capital also participating. Existing investor Dragonfly Capital was also on board. Amber said Friday the investment funds will be used to expand its operations to meet client demand and add new features to its platform. While the industry has come a long way, there is still plenty of work to do in order to meet the growing demands of clients in a fragmented market. Said Michael Wu, Amber Group CEO. We're thrilled to partner with some of the world's leading investors and crypto companies to accelerate our mission of strengthening the crypto finance ecosystem. The firm offers client services including crypto-based electronic market making, automated over-the-counter trading and collateralized lending. Its clients include exchanges, mining companies and pools, wallets and hedge funds, according to its announcement. Our most successful investments have been when we've found companies doing something better than we can ourselves, said Dan Moorhead, founder and CEO of Pantera Capital. Amber dramatically improved our electronic execution across a wide spectrum of assets. Coinbase Commerce integrates DAI cryptocurrency for merchant payments. Coinbase's merchant payments arm has added support for the DAI stablecoin, bringing together online retail and decentralized finance, DeFi. Maker DAO announced Thursday Coinbase Commerce had integrated DAI as a payment method, opening the cryptocurrency up to affiliated online merchants and online commerce platforms like Shopify and WooCommerce. The integration will introduce merchants to a growing segment of the cryptocurrency market, allowing them to bridge the gap between DeFi dApp entrepreneurs and their own real-world businesses, according to the blog post. Coinbase Commerce is a free-to-use service for online retailers, allowing them to integrate cryptocurrency into their businesses. Starting out with Bitcoin, BTC, Ether, ETH, Bitcoin Cash, BCH, and Litecoin, LTC, the platform has only added support for USDC, the stablecoin created by Circle and Coinbase as part of the Center Consortium since its February 2018 launch. CoinDesk has approached Coinbase for comment and will update this article if we hear back. With the new integration, merchants will also be able to earn interest on any received DAI by transferring it into a DAI savings rate, DSR, smart contract on the Maker protocol. The DSR interest rate was raised to 7.5% by community vote earlier in February. Maker DAO says the integration will boost perceptions of DAI and, potentially, bring increased adoption. Currently, 435,000 Ether, worth roughly US$117.4 million, have been locked up in DAI vaults, down more than 75% since its all-time high in November, according to statistics site MKR Tools. Maker's vaults create DAI as users commit collateral assets into them. The Coinbase Commerce integration means DAI could be potentially accepted at the roughly 4 million online merchants that use the payments service. Coinbase said it had exceeded more than $135 million in merchant transactions in 2019, a 600% increase since 2018. ASX sees industry benefits arising from blockchain upgrade as July tests approach. The chief of the Australian Securities Exchange, ASX, said the company's approaching shift to blockchain tech could bring opportunities to the wider securities industry. In a results call for H1 2020 Thursday, reported by ZDNet, ASX CEO Dominic Stevens said, "We're very excited about the long-term benefits this can bring to clearing and settlement specifically, and to the efficiency of the securities industry in Australia generally," Stevens said. Specifically, Stevens was discussing the ASX's development of a blockchain-based replacement for its now aging clearing system called CHESS. Work has been ongoing for several years in partnership with U.S. firm Digital Asset, DA, which is working on the blockchain underpinnings of the platform. According to ZDNet, industry testing is now set for July 2020. DA said that process was expected to take about a year when it received backing from the ASX in its $35 million in Series C financing in December 2019. According to Stevens, the opportunities that digital ledgers bring to securities clearing are being recognized by customers and third parties, and these opportunities are developing in a range of areas including risk management and process automation. With ASX taking an early lead when it comes to rebuilding with blockchain, other industry players have been seeking assistance from the bourse, its CEO said. However, while that potentially offers the firm new business options, it's leaving that option for further down the road as the primary business is very, very strong. Indeed, in its results call, the ASX disclosed an $250 million Australian dollars, $68 million United States dollars, after-tax profit from revenue of $546 million Australian dollars, $367 United States dollars, as per an earlier ZDNet report. Aside from its DLT work, ASX is looking at other new technologies to redesign itself for the digital age. "We're actually transforming our entire technology stack from the operational databases and communications infrastructure we use to the way we deploy distributed ledger, cloud, big data, AI tools," said Stevens. U.S. intelligence officials are funding research on dollar-crushing black swan events. The U.S. Office of the Director of National Intelligence, ODNI, wants to sponsor a postdoc researcher to study what would happen if the U.S. dollar lost its status as the world's reserve currency. In a job listing posted late last year, the agency called for applicants from the U.S. who have a background in economics. The deadline to apply is February 28. The agency said the research, the first of its kind for the intelligence community's postdoc program, could help the U.S. prepare for black swan events that would threaten the dominance of the dollar. This particular study falls under the purview of the National Counterproliferation Center, a center under ODNI that looks for ways to combat the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, in part by preventing terrorist financing. According to intelligence officials familiar with the matter, the research would be shared broadly within the intelligence community. While officials wouldn't attribute the study's initiation to any one event or trend, the postdoc researcher listing does cite predictions from cryptocurrency enthusiasts that a global cryptocurrency or national digital currency could undermine the US dollar, and mentions the growing economies of China and India. If either of these scenarios or others come to pass, the US would lose both its status in the world and its global authorities, the agency wrote in the listing. The U.S. should prepare to identify potential black swan events that could revolutionize the financial playing field in ways we do not yet understand, presenting strategic surprise and understand root causes and driving factors that are particularly sensitive to certain global or technical events. The postdoc program starts at the beginning of the next fiscal year on October 1 and runs for 2 years. The research is unclassified and the researcher doesn't receive any special clearances, but researchers will receive ODNI's sponsorship, funding and access to IT including advanced computing, the officials said. The agency also wouldn't control the researcher's work but would check in periodically to make sure the agency understands it. ODNI said it can also connect the researcher with experts at ODNI and other government entities, like the Federal Reserve, but will not provide data or information that is not already publicly available. The agency is looking for a researcher who will apply statistics, artificial intelligence and deep learning to historical black swan events and possible future scenarios. The listing suggests the researcher might then look for what the most likely scenarios are and in what timeframes they could unfold. Blockchain bills are advancing in the New York State Senate. Here's why. Albany, New York. The New York State Senate will be considering two bills that would bolster the use and development of blockchain tech in the Empire State. The first bill, S-4142, would recognize blockchain-based records and contracts as electronic signatures under state law, giving them legal clout. The second, S6037A, would add distributed ledger technology developers to the Excelsior Jobs Program, which comes with tax credits. Introduced by Senator Diane Savino, D23, and approved by the Internet and Technology Committee, which she chairs, after a hearing Tuesday, the bills next go to the full Senate for a vote. If passed, the measures will move to the New York State Assembly for consideration. The use cases are tremendous, said Adriana Bobbino, a cybersecurity expert and resident technical advisor on Savino's Internet and Technology Committee. By embracing the blockchain tech and the digitized ledger, you're opening up the state to many possibilities. She said these bills specifically will add secure protections to residents' use of digital transactions and create employment opportunities. The bills have been tried in the state legislature before, according to Barbara O'Neill, senior advisor to Savino. Both bills were introduced, in various iterations, during the 2017-2018 legislative session, part of the early efforts by Savino's committee to bring more high-tech legislative initiatives to the state government. That committee is now entering its second year, having formed shortly after Democrats took control of the state Senate for the first time in half a century. The 2019 committee launch helped the Senate streamline all forms of internet-related legislative actions, including those related to blockchain. The New York State Assembly has no full committee for internet and technology, although it does have a subcommittee, chaired by blockchain proponent Assemblyman Clyde Vanel, D33, which must refer all approved legislation to another committee. Small bureaucratic distinctions add hurdles to any legislative action, slowing down or even stifling the passage of lower priority bills, according to O'Neill. Coming from a subcommittee process, it's a little bit more awkward. Their stuff kind of ends up all over the place, O'Neill said. She said the Senate committee is hopeful the Assembly will elevate Vanel's committee to full status. Even so, Bobbino, the technical advisor, said Albany is coming around to the concept of blockchain. Last year, staffers and senators asked basic questions about blockchain and distributed ledger technology, prompting Bobbino to develop an explainer presentation. But this year many appear more comfortable with the technology, which helps them see the value of the legislation, she said. Binance adds 15 fiat currencies as exchange pushes global expansion. Binance has added payment support for 15 fiat currencies in a major push to corner local markets. The Malta-based cryptocurrency exchange announced Friday that users can now purchase cryptocurrencies with a longer list of supported fiat currencies through its integration with Israeli fiat payments processor Simplex. The new integration provides gateways for currencies including the Swiss franc, Korean won and Australian dollar, as well as the Polish zloty and South African rand. Currencies that have already been made available through Binance's fiat-to-crypto trading facility, such as pound sterling and Russian ruble, are also now supported through Simplex. Developers confirmed the integration was fully operational by Thursday afternoon. Supported fiat currencies will be paired with Binance's base cryptocurrencies, the assets the exchange uses for its default trading pairs. These currently include Bitcoin, Ether, XRP, as well as some selected fiat currencies, including the US dollar and the Nigerian Naira. Data collected for CoinDesk suggests fiat volumes only make up a tiny fraction of Binance's trading activity. With 30-day average daily volumes at around $3.55 billion, only $3.5 million of that was in fiat. As the graph below highlights, the vast majority of this volume has been in US dollars since a gateway for the currency was opened up. As Binance folds some of its supported currencies into US dollars, it isn't certain if end users are entirely behind all of Binance's dollar volume. Simplex first partnered with Binance in January 2019, allowing users to purchase cryptocurrencies with credit and debit card payments denominated in euros, US and Canadian dollars, and Japanese yen. Although Simplex charges a 3% fee plus a $10 flat fee for any purchases below $200, it is designed to be cheaper than paying straight from a bank or card provider, which usually levy an additional 3% FX fee on top of any other fees charged for a fiat crypt swap. Encouraging users to trade in their local currency could enhance Binance's global appeal. Last October, CEO Changpeng Zhao said they had integrated Russian rubles into the platform after describing the country as one of their key markets. On Thursday, the exchange announced it had hired a former Uber product lead to begin building a range of services specific to local markets. NASDAQ, Morgan Stanley trading vets build startup to unite crypto market price ranges. A group of trading vets from NASDAQ, Visa and Morgan Stanley say they've built a liquidity solution for the world's disparate cryptocurrency markets. After 18 months of development, their project, Appafini, came out of stealth Wednesday with a new platform targeting exchanges hampered by low liquidity, X1. It is an emerging finances back-end tool tied to technological advances in traditional markets, which, despite their off-chain standing, have myriad advantages over crypto exchanges. These marketplaces are highly fragmented and remarkably inefficient, said co-chairman David Weald, a former vice chair of NASDAQ. If an investor goes to one marketplace, the bid that he sees in that one marketplace may be wildly different than it is in another venue. Bid discrepancies can be a turnoff for investors used to accessing relatively stable quotes from a consolidated marketplace, Wild said. Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies have no such price coherence. Real-time bids can vary by thousands of dollars from one market to the next. If your pipes, so to speak, don't see both venues, then you're going to have a risk of getting a much worse execution, Wild said. X1 wants to lay those proverbial pipes. Built by Appfini's 100-plus team out of San Francisco and a handful of distributed offices, it's the plumbing to a more interconnected, consolidated trading experience. Its executives include CTO Ashu Swami, former VP of Program Trading at Morgan Stanley, head of product Connie Wong, former design lead at Kraken, and CEO of retail product Ben Rabb, formerly Visa's head of global network product support. As Wild explained it, X1 will reach across the marketplaces to generate a consolidated quote, a global best bid and offer that secures the most optimal bid for the system's users. That's similar to the national best bid and offer, a Wall Street term referring to a broker's Security and Exchange Commission mandated responsibility to get their clients the best possible price. And though X1 provides a service for crypto, Wild, who couched his explanation of X1 and digital assets at large with the language of a Wall Street trading desk, said the platform's utility has precedence in the traditional markets. In the U.S., the SEC regulation NMS pushed equity marketplaces to link together in a network of pooled quotes. The idea there was to partly to modernize the country's disparate, electronic marketplaces in a single, accessible way. This is what we're looking to do in the digital asset space, broadly defined and globally, Wild said. X1 is not yet operational. Appofini has not yet announced a release date. Trump's Fed nominee Judy Shelton says U.S. should be proactive on digital dollar. Judy Shelton, President Trump's nominee to the Federal Reserve Board, told lawmakers that digitizing the U.S. dollar could help maintain the currency's ascendancy in global commerce. At her Senate confirmation hearing Thursday, Shelton said the U.S. needs fintech innovation to keep ahead of other countries. Yes, it is a dominant reserve currency, but we can't rest on our laurels in that regard, Shelton said. Rival nations are working very diligently to have an alternative to the dollar. I think it is very important that we get ahead of the curve to ensure that the dollar continues to offer the best currency in the world. When asked by Tom Cotton, R. Arkansas, how she will address the need for a digital dollar, Shelton said it is an extremely important discussion and we are compelled to think about that. Her comments come at a time when digital currency initiatives by China's central bank and the Facebook-spawned Libra Association have spurred the U.S. and other Western nations to seriously consider launching their own electronic monies. 2 weeks ago, former officials from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, set up a nonprofit to design proposals for a digital dollar. And earlier this week, Fed Chairman Powell told lawmakers that Libra was a wake-up call for the central bank, while emphasizing that its research was in the early stages. From gold bug to rate cutter. Shelton has been a longtime advocate for the gold standard, which strictly pegs a currency's value to gold, and has opposed the Fed's easy money policies. Gold standard rules permit nations to participate voluntarily by operating in accordance with the discipline of gold convertibility of their own currencies, Shelton wrote in an article published by the Libertarian Cato Institute in 2018. A modern version of this approach, one that permits the issuance of virtual currencies in tandem with government-issued currencies, adapting legal tender laws to permit healthy currency competition, should be put forward, she added. More recently, however, Shelton has come under criticism for supporting the president's position that interest rates, already historically low, should be cut further. Trump nominated Shelton for the Fed board in July along with Chris Waller, director of research at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. OKEX partners with Bain-backed crypto exchange to launch leveraged futures in India. An Indian cryptocurrency exchange has partnered with Malta-based trading platform OKEX to offer futures products specifically for the subcontinent market. Mumbai-based CoinDCX announced Friday the strategic partnership will help it develop a new derivative facility known as DCX Futures in return for providing OKEX with a foothold in the Indian market. Using CoinCX's new derivatives facility, Indian investors will be able to trade futures, with leverage of up to 15x provided by OKEX on 9 cryptocurrencies including Bitcoin, BTC, Ether, ETH, XRP, XRP, and Litecoin, LTC. Available to both institutional and retail investors, the platform will also offer perpetual futures contracts in both Bitcoin and Ether. The partnership with CoinDCX, which is backed by an undisclosed amount from investors including Bain Capital, provides OKEX with insight, liquidity and connectivity to the rebounding Indian cryptocurrency scene, according to the announcement. During the 2017 initial coin offering boom, 5 million Indians were estimated to be trading digital currencies, but in April 2018 the Reserve Bank of India, RBI, the country's central bank, ordered financial institutions to stop dealing with any firms involved in crypto trading in 2018, greatly restricting the market. Local exchange Coinex was forced to close its doors last summer, claiming the RBI ban had made it economically unfeasible for them to operate as a business. ZebPay, which used to be the largest exchange in India, complained the ban had crippled its ability to offer crypto trading services. Some, however, have soldiered on, offering crypto to crypto trading only. In the coming weeks, the country's Supreme Court is expected to rule on whether the RBI acted outside its jurisdiction when it issued the banking ban. In anticipation of a favorable ruling, some cryptocurrency companies are beginning to set out their stalls. Binance entered the Indian market in November after acquiring local exchange WazirX. India is primed to be the driving force behind the mass adoption of cryptocurrencies, which is why we are keen on adding more equitable currencies to the ecosystem, said Zaz Zhou, head of OKEX India. We believe having a variety of options to transact digital currencies will bolster the growth of economy in India as it positively impacts both crowdfunding and institutional funding. Credit rating and audit firm Crebaco Global calculated the Indian cryptocurrency scene, if properly regulated, could have an immediate potential market size of $12.9 billion, with the possibility of creating anywhere between 25,000 and 30,000 jobs. We have witnessed rapidly growing demand for futures trading among Indian cryptocurrency market participants, said CoinDCX CEO and co-founder Sumit Gupta. India could become one of the fastest-growing economies in the world just by leveraging the huge potential of cryptocurrency markets to accelerate economic growth and wealth generation, he added. CoinCX's futures platform is currently available to limited numbers of testers, but is expected to be made available to the general public sometime in Q2 2020. Bitcoin closing on daily golden cross that could bring boost to 2020 price rally. View: Bitcoin's short-term and long-term daily moving averages look likely to converge soon, opening up the potential for a daily golden cross, a bullish pattern not seen for nearly 10 months. The 14-day relative strength index is registering near overbought conditions, a possible sign of buyer exhaustion that may see a short-term pullback. The weekly chart indicates strong buyer momentum after breaking out of a 203-day descending channel on January 20. Bull bias would be aborted with a firm close below $9,706, an area of major bullish gains previously. Bitcoin may see a move higher in coming weeks, courtesy of two major daily moving averages heading for a collision dubbed a golden cross. The cross occurs when a short-term moving average MA crosses above a longer-term one, typically the 50-day and 200-day MAs, hinting at strong upward momentum in an asset's price. The last time such an instance occurred was back in April 2019, when the price of BTC rose 175% to create a yearly high of around $13,880 after a temporary pullback to $4,995, Bitstamp data shows. Therefore, if history repeats, BTC could be in for a short-term drop before making its way to a new high for 2020. The convergence of the two key MAs are an indication of strong buying pressure as BTC continues to post positive gains year to date. Bitcoin is up 43.5% since January 1 and up 175% year on year from the February 14, 2019, close of $3,560. However, the golden cross will need a sustained positive follow-through or the odds of a deeper pullback may rise. Supporting the potential for short-term losses, the 14-day relative strength index (RSI), an indicator used to judge the momentum of a given trend, is currently indicating near overbought conditions with a reading of 67.2. A value of 70 and above represents overbought, while 30 and below hints at an asset being oversold. Additionally, yesterday's bearish engulfing candle opened the doors for another test of $10,000. The temporary pullback could be extended if prices fall beneath the $10,000 psychological resistance, exposing $9,867, a region of former hourly resistances. Overall, price action has been trending bullish, as demonstrated by a weekly price breakout on January 20 from the almost 7-month descending channel, beginning late last July. The 50-period MA on the weekly chart,
yellow line,
has been signaling bullish momentum when prices have remained above it, as seen in 2017 and the first quarter of 2018. Prices remained bearish below throughout the latter half of 2018 and all of 2019, indicating weaker buyer demand. Prices remain firmly above the 50 mega amperes, hinting at greater buying power ahead of the expected bullish halving event in May 2020, a supply cut programmed into Bitcoin's code that sees miners' rewards reduced by 50%. The mid-term bullish view would be compromised should prices drop below $9,706, the level of a major bullish engulfing candle on February 11. That could upset the prospects for the incoming daily golden cross and a continued rally to new 2020 highs. Polychain Capital is raising a $200 million crypto venture fund, slide deck reveals. Cryptocurrency investment firm Polychain Capital is raising $200 million for a second fund aimed at venture investing, a funding goal that would top its first venture fund by $25 million. According to an investor slide deck obtained by CoinDesk, the second venture fund opened at the beginning of 2020 and is accepting minimum investments of $1 million for up to 3 years. Like Polychain Capital's first venture fund, the second fund will back early-stage crypto startups raising pre-seed, seed and Series A funding rounds. The first venture fund, which raised $175 million from investors who cut checks normally between $500,000 and $5 million, invested most of its capital by the end of last year after launching in the first quarter of 2018, according to the Polychain slide deck. The capital, the deck says, was split 40% to startups that improved on existing blockchain infrastructure and 60% to startups that explored less tested industry concepts. The second venture fund was registered in December of last year, according to U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) documents. The deck does not indicate the amount Polychain Capital has raised so far for the second venture fund. Polychain Capital declined to comment on funding progress and specifics due to investor restrictions. Blockchain networks with enhanced privacy, engineering and flexibility will be prioritized in the second venture fund, the deck says, glomming on to existing investments in cloud platform Definity and blockchain interoperability projects Cosmos and Polkadot. With its first fund, Polychain says it sought exposure to cryptocurrency exchanges and custodians through the investments that were considered foundational to the industry, a strategy that homes in on the Polychain's banner investment, Coinbase, the San Francisco-based crypto exchange and tech unicorn. More novel investments in the flagship venture portfolio, meanwhile, trended toward decentralized financial entities, digitized financial instruments and brokers that self-regulate themselves and avoid manual oversight while often settling in crypto. So far, Polychain has backed decentralized finance, DeFi, powerhouse maker DAO, margin trading book DYDX, blockchain bank Dharma and lending protocol Compound, among others. Venture trajectory. To date, none of Polychain Capital's reported venture fund investments has issued a public offering or been acquired. Such exits traditionally allow a fund to cash out its holdings in a portfolio company and deliver sizable returns to fund investors. Investors in Polychain Capital, or limited partners, have reportedly counted technology venture capital firms Andreessen Horowitz, Sequoia Capital, Founders Fund and Union Square Ventures, some of which have co-invested in Polychain portfolio companies. SEC filings show that assets across all Polychain Capital funds dipped from $967.8 million in August 2018 to $595.1 million in March 2019. The total assets accounted for cryptocurrencies, equity in company investments and unspent investor money is valued at the time the disclosure forms were filed. Of those funds, Polychain Capital claims in the new investor deck that its cryptocurrency asset fund, a hedge fund launched in 2016 that trades short-term and long-term positions of digital assets, manages some $550 million. The deck, which appears to have been produced in or after October 2019, notes that the hedge fund is simultaneously taking investments north of $1 million on a rolling basis. An early pioneer in the crypto VC space, Polychain Capital was founded in San Francisco by Olaf Carlson Wee, the first employee and former head of risk at Coinbase. Polychain CTO Rob Witoff and Polychain general partners Sam Rosenblum and Aurora Harshner are also alumni of Coinbase. The two executive partners aside from Carlson Wee and Witoff President Joe Egan and joint co-CFO Matt Perona hail from traditional finance backgrounds. Perona was CFO of Criterion Capital from 2012 to 2018. Egan was previously COO of Tiger Legatus, a consumer stock hedge fund. MIT wasn't only one auditing VOET's Homeland Security did too, with fewer concerns. The Department of Homeland Security, DHS, found a number of security vulnerabilities in VOET's technical infrastructure during a cybersecurity audit of the mobile voting app vendor's Boston headquarters, according to a newly declassified report obtained by CoinDesk. However, the DHS report, conducted by a Hunt and Incident Response Team with the Department's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, also determined VOETs had no active threats on its network during the week-long operation, conducted in September. It developed a series of recommendations to further boost VOET's security. VOETs has since addressed those recommendations. The CISA report was shared with CoinDesk hours after a technical paper by MIT researchers claimed to detail a number of major vulnerabilities in the Medici-backed VOETs app, including allegations the app leaves voters' identities open to adversaries and that ballots can be altered. The MIT report, published Thursday by graduate students Michael Spector and James Koppel and principal research scientist Daniel Weitzner, further alleges the app has limited transparency, a claim also raised by a number of security researchers. Our findings serve as a concrete illustration of the common wisdom against internet voting, and of the importance of transparency to the legitimacy of elections, the MIT researchers said in the report. However, the CISA audit, which focuses less on the app itself and more on VOET's internal network and servers, draws a different conclusion. The DHS investigators wrote that while they found some issues that could pose future concerns to VOET's networks, overall the team commends VOET's for their proactive measures in monitoring for potential threats. The two reports paint contrasting pictures of how the company, whose app has been used in pilot programs and live elections in West Virginia, Colorado, and Utah, approaches voting security. Further, at least one election official overseeing the VOET's app rollout believes the MIT study is missing data in its evaluation. The MIT researchers did not return a request for comment by press time. MIT findings. The MIT report relies on a reverse engineering of the VOET's app and re-implemented clean room server, according to the researchers, who did not interact with VOET's live servers or its purported blockchain back-end. They found privacy vulnerabilities and a wealth of potential avenues for attack in the app. Adversaries could infer user vote choice, corrupt the audit trail and even change what appeared on the ballot, the researchers said. The researchers' findings and faults did not focus on VOET's use of a blockchain, at least in part because they did not have access to the permissioned blockchain on which VOET's is said to store and authenticate votes. Instead, they report the VOET's app never submits VOET information to any blockchain-like system. Criticizing VOET's lack of transparency, the researchers further argued the company's black box approach to public documentation could, in tandem with the bugs, erode public trust. The legitimacy of the government relies on scrutiny and transparency of the democratic process to ensure that no party or outside actor can unduly alter the outcome, the report said. Ultimately, the researchers recommended elected officials abandon the app outright. It remains unclear if any electronic-only mobile or internet voting system can practically overcome the stringent security requirements on election systems, they said. But Amelia Powers Gardner, a Utah County, Utah, election auditor who supervised her county's rollout of the VOET system for disabled voters and service members deployed overseas, told CoinDesk that at least some of the bugs the researchers found cannot be exploited in practice. The researchers weren't able to substantiate these claims because they were never able to actually connect to the VOET server, Powers Gardner said. So in theory they claim that they may have been able to do these things, and only on the Android version, not the Apple version. She said the MIT researchers' effort comes from what ifs, and perhaps, and maybes that, frankly, just haven't panned out, and that the app had since been patched. For Powers Gardner, VOTE's benefits far outweigh any security risks. She said the software is a far better alternative for otherwise disenfranchised voting groups than the current technological solution, email. While these concerns of around mobile loading can be valid, they don't rise to a level of security that causes me to even question the use of the mobile app, she said. John Siebes, co-founder and chief technology officer of the Open Source Election Technology Institute, said a number of the researchers' concerns still stand, despite Powers Gardner's claims. Election officials and computer scientists live in very different worlds, and therefore may not see eye to eye, he said. However, he added, computer science researchers do not need to understand an election official's world to be able to assess a software vendor's claims. We can't validate VOTE's claims that newer versions were better, but it's still the case that the version inspected had some fairly basic issues, Siebes said. In response to Powers Gardner's claims, the researchers' claims were speculative, or what-ifs, Siebes said this reflected a misunderstanding of the value of this kind of security assessment. The goal is to find vulnerabilities in the software that could enable adversaries to conduct a successful cyber operation, rather than claim an actual attack occurred, which is also the framing the DHS conclusion takes, Siebes said. Still voting electronically. VOTE itself took issue with the MIT report, insinuating in a statement that the researchers were embarking on a fear campaign. It is clear that from the theoretical nature of the researchers' approach that the researchers' true aim is to deliberately disrupt the election process, to sow doubt in the security of our election infrastructure, and to spread fear and confusion, the statement said. The company's response to the DHS report was more measured. While there was no written statement and a spokesperson did not return a request for comment, the government investigators said VOTE had taken action on most of their recommendations. Still, the DHS report remains inconclusive about the VOTE app itself. West Virginia, one of the states that used the app, claims it has seen no issues so far. Mike Queen, a spokesperson for West Virginia Secretary of State Mack Warner, said the state's 2018 pilot for overseas military voters went off without a hitch. However, he was noncommittal as to whether the state would continue using VOTE. Secretary Warner and his team will make a decision prior to March 1 regarding the technology that we will prescribe for use in the May 2020 primary election, he said. As we have done from the very start, our decision will be based on the best available information with a strong emphasis on security and accessibility. Like Utah's Powers Gardner, Queen said any potential physical disabilities or geographic location should not prevent voters from participating in the democratic process. I don't have a duty to an out-of-town researcher who doesn't understand how elections are actually run, Powers Gardner said. I have a duty to stand up for the constitutional rights of the disabled voters in my community, and I'm going to ensure their constitutional right to vote in the safest way that I know how. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.